I want to tell you a quick story. It's about a man who says to his wife, "We need to have a conversation." So they sit down in this little kind of off the front room area where they have coffee and tea. And he looks at his wife and he says, "Honey, I've been thinking a lot." And she looks at him, her eyes a little bit wider. For a man to talk is amazing, let alone get into stuff. It's pretty cool. And so he says, "Baby, when I drove my car off the road because I was going too fast and I broke my leg and my wrist," he said, "you were there nursing me through the weeks of unable to do anything. And he says, just, you know, you were up nights during my painful times. And every time I had to go to the bathroom, you had to help me." He says, "Honey, when I got sick coming back from that overseas trip, and I was just, for weeks, I was broken out in cold sweats and even delirious a little. And you were by my side wiping my brow. And he said, you know, and when I lost my job and I began to struggle with who I was as a man, you were there for me through the next few months as I began to look for, am I in the career that I'm in? And who am I? And the struggle that I went through." And he says, "You were there with me." He says, "Sweetie, I just got to tell you, I've been thinking a lot, and I'm leaving you because you're bad luck." As crazy as that sounds, I am amazed how many people, when they are diagnosing their lives, will blame someone else for all the things that are going on in their world. You know, he can drive off a road, he can go and get himself sick, but, and now he's just, it's you, it's your fault. And one of the tricks of the enemy in life is what the Bible says, to begin to judge others. Judgment is when you assign, in your beliefs, in your thinking, you assign sin and wrongdoing to someone else, and you have judged them. When people do that, the Bible says, "Judge not, that you be not judged." And we kind of just go, "Yeah, I kind of get that." No, it's probably one of the greatest truths and one of the greatest causes of pain that people will ever experience. Because once you judge a person, and by the way, the judgment of a person is when you ask the question, why? Everybody should judge what they do as far as their actions go. If I want a babysitter for my five children, I'm going to judge that person's track record, actions, accountability, ability. That's great. But I can never look at someone and say, why are they like that? Why did they do that? And begin to assign a judgment to that person. Yet we're all trained that way. We blame our mothers. We blame our fathers. We blame our pastors. We blame our churches. And at some point, we have to be grown up enough to say, all right, it's not my fault how I was raised to believe what I believe. Even the messes that I've gotten into might not be my fault, but they're my responsibility now that I've grown up to walk my way clear and to make wise decisions. Now, I've taught a lot about this topic, and if you want to hear more about how to judge people correctly according to Jesus and the Word of God, there's a whole series on that. But what I realized as a young pastor years ago was it really hurt me when I would offend people. People would come to me and they would say that they were offended because of something I had done or something I had neglected to do. Because I wanted to keep everybody happy, and it's kind of a part of my personality trait, it was like there was never a week that went by that I wasn't just messed up thinking, how could I look after that person better? I can't believe they thought I meant them when I said that. I can't believe that person thinks I don't love them because I didn't do this for them. And it was almost like my world was living in this hurt all the time because of all of the people that would come to me and point at me, because as their pastor, I was supposed to free them, help them, set them free, change their lives. And for a young guy, it became a dog's breakfast for me. And God began to deal with me in my heart, and he began to show me in the Word of God that Paul says this in the Word. He says there that I am free from the blood of all men because I told you what I know. Isn't that interesting? He said, as an apostle, a leader, that he was free from the blood of all men. He said, I am innocent from the problems and the issues and the deaths and the fatalities that are going on in their world because I taught them what I know. And what set me free in pastoring and what needs to set you free in just being a human being is that everybody has free will. They get to believe what they want. They get to think what they want. They get to do what they want. Even God doesn't change that. He's made you a free will being. And so you can think that, well, I wish I could help that person more, but basically there's some things that we can do to help people around us. We can love them, we can speak with them, we can reach out to them. We should always be people that are caring and loving and reaching out to the hurting. But there are some, for every mile of truth, there's 2 miles of ditch. And so on the one side of the road, we've got people who do more for people than Jesus would do. Okay? Now there's, you know, you don't find Jesus chasing anybody down that he offended, and he offended a lot of people. You don't see Jesus chasing any of them down. Let me just explain to you what I meant by that. Because he recognized that what is in a person's heart to do, they are going to do. And that he, as the Son of God, couldn't go in there and change them unless they believed on him and wanted him, his word, and his help, and could change. And so in your life, with your friendships, even in your families, as they get bigger with in-laws and mother-in-laws and son and daughter-in-laws, you know, we can only love them. We can only get involved in their lives to the degree that they allow us to, and then you have to be free. A lot of times when you read the story of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he'll talk about things like as he wept and things that went on. And he wasn't weeping because he's having a problem with God. He wasn't weeping because, you know, he was hurting. He was a tough guy. Anytime he wept or felt sorrow, it was because the teaching of the word that he gave people wasn't being accepted or acted on. And he knew the eternal consequences if you don't know Jesus. And he knew the consequences of not learning and growing in the Word of God. And so I don't know who I'm speaking to, but one of the greatest things in my life as a leader, as a friend, as a father, as a husband, etc., was that I can't change people. And I can't be ultimately responsible when they don't change, as though it's my fault because I haven't been a good enough father, a good enough pastor, a good enough friend. And it brought such freedom to my life to sense, God, I want to love people. I want to be there for people. I want to help people. But you know, if your ship is sinking, your life is going down, and I'm trying to, hey, come on, here's what you need to do. And I'm giving them all this advice and trying to help them. I'm not going to stand on the deck of their ship while it goes down. I'm going to be on the dock saying, hey, this is what you need to do. So that for those who tend to be doing more than Jesus would do, you be free and recognize that when Paul said, I am free from the blood of all men, it shows us and him as a leader, me as a pastor, that even as a church, our role is to teach God's word, to be there for people, to pick them up when they fall, to brush the dirt off their face, put them back in their place, to forgive them, to love them. How many times do you forgive them? Well, 70 times 7 is 149 times a day. So all that stays in place. But for you to begin to take responsibility for their inability to change, and you'll never know why, so don't even judge them for it. Ultimately, it would lie in the hands of them to make those decisions. So, as I'm saying this, let me give you a couple thoughts. For every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditch. And Christians are famous to be on the ditch on one side of a topic or on the ditch on the other side. There are two kinds of laws or principles that I see in God's Word. Spiritual principles that your faith needs to rely upon or believe. And as you begin to believe the spiritual principles in God's word, you can be saved. You can be at peace. You can be healed. You can prosper. You can see your life change and grow as you obey and you believe the spiritual principles in God's Word. But then there are universal principles in God's Word. Now, universal principles don't need your faith. They don't need you to believe them. In fact, whether you believe them or not, they're going to affect you. You know, if you decide to jump off the top of this building, it doesn't really matter what you believe. Gravity is a universal law. And there are many universal laws that Christians need to be aware of, because we tend to have super spooky Christians who pray for everything. You know, and then we have others who don't believe in the power of God at all, and it's all up to them. It's the sweat of their brow, the work of their hands, and all their ability. And so they're in the ditch on this side. Well, there is no God. Look after yourself, dude, because the world's a tough place. And then the other group, they don't develop any new skills. They just pray that God's going to bless me. God's going to save my marriage. I remember talking to one woman one time, and she would talk to me often about praying for her marriage and her husband, and it just kept getting worse and worse. She was praying. She was claiming the right promises. She was believing God for this. She was speaking this over this. And one day I just talked to her quickly about, are there any universal laws that you're breaking? And she goes, well, what do you mean? Well, the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. The Bible says that when you're married, that you give each other love and romance and sex. The Bible teaches all these. And her face just kind of went blank. As you could just see this aha moment that you can't treat them like garbage and ask God to change them. Okay? Because your spiritual laws that you're believing in are not going to do the universal laws that you're breaking. I've sat down with business leaders who have said, you're running all these organizations with hundreds of staff, and could you give me some hints about, you know, companies? And so if I can, I'll sit down with them, and they'll start talking about, they're claiming this promise, they're praying in the mornings, they're meeting with the Christians at work, they're doing that, they're giving, they're tithing. They just list all these spiritual things that they do. And then I'll begin to pick on universal laws. How do you treat your staff? I remember one guy, I just knew that he would lose his temper and just scream at his staff. I mean, just rip into them, cursing, swearing. And he's a born-again believer going to a church. And he couldn't understand why he couldn't hang on to good staff. And I said, well, I don't know if you're breaking any spiritual laws. You're believing, you're praying, you've got faith. But I said, like, how do you treat them? Because I just kept going down. Like, all right, how do you confront them? How do you coach them when they make mistakes? Do you do it believing in them? Do you do it with a sense of love and grace? The Bible says that we are to speak truth, but in love. You don't speak truth in anger. You don't speak truth in any other way. So are you breaking universal laws? Do you know anything about? Have you grown in the industry that you're aware of? Or are the things you're doing 20 years old as others are learning and growing and going to conferences, learning new techniques of building cabinets or whatever company that you're doing, are you growing in the universal laws that are there? And so many people's eyes just get big. And in churches, it's important to note that it's churches, the Bible says, are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Well, a lot of it is spiritual laws, yet Proverbs also brings out a lot of universal law. So for those who are too spooky when it comes to prayer, okay, recognize if you're not getting results, it might not be that you're not praying enough. Are there any universal laws that you're breaking? If you're praying for your kids and believe in God that they're going to grow up and serve God, and they're teenagers and they're just chasing every bad thing down, but I took them to church, but I pray for them, but we did devotions with them. You know, that's great for spiritual laws. But what about the universal laws? Did you become their friend? Do you speak in love? You know, were you saying things to them? And like, ways that just, the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. So if you're an angry person, then this anger literally defiles every person that is around you. Because no one, your stomach's in a knot when you're around a person who could be angry at any time. Proverbs 18:9 says, he who is loose and slack in his work is brother to him who is a destroyer. Okay, stop right there. In whatever you're working on, your marriage, your company, whatever you're working on, your in-laws, you name it, okay? If you're loose and slack at it, yeah, whatever, but you're praying that God bless them, but you're not obeying principles of friendship. One person said to me, I just don't have any friends in this church. I said, whose fault is that? Well, okay, so are you saying that everybody in the church is a bad person because you don't have any friends? Are there no good people in the church? You don't have any friends? Is the devil stopping you from having friends? Is God preventing you from having friends? And you can see that as your brain's kind of covering this. Well, no. I said, well, the Bible says, let him who desires friends show himself friendly. So what are you doing to be a good friend? And so it's not that there's something wrong with the people around you, something wrong with the people in your neighborhood. You're breaking universal laws. To build relationships requires you to, well, that's not my personality type. Well, welcome to hell. You're going to blame everybody else for your inability to build friendships and say, well, you know, people just always hurt. You know, get out, quit. It is your responsibility. The universal law is you reach out and you show yourself friendly, which might be different in different cases. Develop the skills of showing this friendliness. Now, in Proverbs 18:9 in the Amplified, it goes on to say, and he who does not use his endeavors to heal himself is brother to him who commits suicide. Whoa. I don't know how many times someone will stop and talk to me over the 40 years of ministry and just want you to know that nothing has worked for me. I don't feel like you've been there for me. And we just got to move on. We're just so hurt. Nothing's working. And I just pray with them and God bless them and apologize if I think I've done anything or even if I haven't, because I've recognized that. Here's what it says. It says, he who does not use his endeavors to heal himself, heal his marriage, heal his mind, heal his body, heal his company, heal his family, heal his home. There are endeavors you must do. My job is not to fix you as your pastor. My job is not to mess with you and judge you. And my job is to love you, accept you, forgive you, give you God's word, and try to get you to connect to Jesus and to learn his word so that you and Jesus have a great relationship. Immature pastors love to get involved and I'll make that decision for you. What you mean? Okay, here's what you do. I don't like telling people what to do, because if it doesn't work, I get blamed. And if it does work, they never stop asking me to make their decisions for them. And so I like to equip and train people to that they don't need me to do anything else other than to be their pastor, to love, to equip them, to train them. And then there are others who, if someone isn't doing something for them, and they've been doing that for 30 years in the church, they get upset. My dad was a pastor, so I was trained and raised up in him, an amazing man of God, and he's in heaven today, but he always made this comment about church. He'd said, I do not mind bottle feeding Christians, okay? I just don't like parting the whiskers to get the bottle in. And what he was saying is that new believers that have come to know Jesus, people whose lives are in an incredible mess because they just don't understand, they give their lives to Christ. We as the family of God are to love them, befriend them, equip them, volunteer beside them, etc., and help them as they go through these first growth spurts. But as we grow up in the Word, God's not holding everybody else responsible for your inability to get results. And so it's quite a wake-up call to people that we're not going to keep parting the whiskers. There's too many babies coming in getting saved, too many great things for us to do. And so we as the family of God love people, are there for people, but we also need to recognize there's only so much you can do for people. And then you must leave them between them and God, and they have choices to make. Some of the decisions they make are fatal. I've watched people make decisions after encouraging them. They've asked for some advice. And I said, well, you know, those are your decisions. Here's a few things the Word of God says. Here's a couple great books I've read that help in that area. And they won't bother reading or listening. They just go make decisions anyway. And you can see the fatal decisions they make for their marriage, the fatal decisions they make for their kids, taking them out of here and going over there or whatever's going on. And they have to make their own decisions. I don't know why I'm off on this, but I just... You be free to love on people, to care about people, to help people, to get involved with people, but recognize that the world, every person on the world has a free will. And if God gives them freedom to believe what they want, think what they want, say what they want, do what they want, you have to give them that freedom too. And it can be one of the greatest heartbreaking things as you see people around you make the decisions that they are allowed to make in a way that you can't stop. And you have to be at peace and know, I've done everything I can do. And don't be discouraged. Don't be down. The Bible says 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. Woo, that's a great promise. That's actually a depressing promise. I'm glad it's working, but you know, I don't want to see 1,000 fail at that. I don't want to see 10,000 go down. But we're living in a world where you can look around and see the decisions that people make, how it affects their health, their marriages, their home, their mental health, their children, their generations, etc. And the church needs to love and not be judgmental. That's why we always bring up LAF, L-A-F, at every service, so we can love people. And then those who want to engage Jesus and learn his word and bring such change to their lives learn spiritual laws, and they learn universal laws. It used to be a generation or two ago that parents would teach their children the universal laws. Today, with iPads and televisions and and schools and babysitters and nannies, and they're all good. I've used them all different places. But we tend to think that if I just raise them up with food, clothing, that everything will be okay. But you are literally to train up a child in the way they should go. So all this new gender stuff that's out there saying you shouldn't tell your children which gender they are, the Bible vehemently disagrees with that. You train them up in the way they should go according to the word, and it'll bring a lot of health for them in the family. When it comes to life, now let's talk about you for in our closing minutes here. The Bible's very clear that there are the supernatural, miraculous moves of God in your life. You can pray and a storm is averted. Jesus is our example of what a Christian can walk like on the planet. So healing can happen. Storms can be calmed. Spiritual power is within us. And because Jesus is within us to pray and to change things. Someone's thinking, well, then do I even pray for my friend? No, prayer's fantastic. Just know how to pray. Prayer and pray new covenant prayers, like the one in Ephesians 1:6, Ephesians 16, and Ephesians 3:15, and Colossians 1:9. There's beautiful New Testament prayers that begin to pray. We don't stop praying for people. It's sometimes just, the Bible says, when you walk by someone's situation and you get involved in it, it's like grabbing a dog by the ears. You're gonna get bit. So love and care. But there's so many things that we need to understand about wisdom. The Bible teaches us that it is wisdom that builds our lives. Wisdom. Well, Leon, I thought that God builds our lives. Yes, but wisdom is, when you talk about the presence of God, the Spirit of God, there's seven different things it talks about that God is. One of them is wisdom. And the book of Proverbs is a book that jumps right into where wisdom is crying aloud in the streets. Young man, pay attention. Wisdom is speaking. And it says, and you ignore wisdom at your own peril. Another verse in Proverbs says, for him who ignores wisdom, wisdom will laugh in your day of calamity. I hated that verse when I read it. I thought, God, are you saying you're going to ignore us? No, he's saying that much of the stuff that goes, not everything, much of the stuff that goes on in our lives is just we're unaware. You know, my people perish for a lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6 says. So we want to grow in the things of God, the spiritual principles of Jesus. He died on the cross. He forgave our sins. New life is on the inside of us as believers. But at the same time, the Bible's filled with stuff about wisdom. Follow wisdom. Pursue wisdom. When things aren't going right, just don't turn around and start blaming somebody in your world. Instead, go, God, it's either spiritual principles or it's universal principles, but I know there's answers here. Guide me. And Holy Spirit's job is to lead you into all truth. Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 5, it says it takes wisdom to have a good family. Oops, stop right there. I dedicated my kids. You spoke blessings over me. Praise the Lord. But to have a good family is going to require the wisdom of a father, the wisdom of a dad, the wisdom of a mother, the wisdom of a wife, the wisdom of lovers and romance, the wisdom of finances and making good decisions, the wisdoms of who you should make friends with and who you keep out of your house. There's so much wisdom on this that don't just settle in, but look for the wisdom. It takes wisdom to have a good family. By wisdom, a house is built. It takes understanding to make that house strong. by understanding it's established. It takes knowledge to fill a home with rare and beautiful treasures. By knowledge, rooms are filled. Wise people have great power. They are mightier than strong people. Wow. Psalms 119 says that God's wisdom will make you wiser than your enemies, wiser than people older than you, and wiser than your teachers. My time is up. The other 95% of my notes are on the app. But this one thought I want to bring to you. Go after wisdom. Go after wisdom. If all your friends are your age, go meet some older people. People have often said, Leon, your church is kind of messed up. Like, you got all generations in your church. That's for sure. You need the strength of the young, the wisdom of the older as we come together. But pursue wisdom. Recognize that it could be a spiritual principle. Holy Spirit will guide you. As you begin to get into God's word, you'll begin to recognize, if that guy can prosper and he's breaking every spiritual law I know, how come he's prospering? Is God blessing him? Well, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. The sun shines on the just and the unjust alike, meaning there are universal principles that are upon everybody. That guy is like a liar. That guy is a jerk. That guy is destroying his own family, his marriage. He's got a bad mouth. He does a lot of stupid things. But why is that business rocking and money coming in? And because he understands systems. He understands how to treat people. He understands the product. He understands all these universal laws. Now, he'll never make it through life all the way because his marriage is going to bankrupt and his family is going to bankrupt and his kids are going to leave him and his friends are all going to go. You need both. But maybe don't write that guy off so quick. Maybe there's some universal laws he's doing you should go learn when it comes to how to treat clients and how to pick the right place for your business and how to train and equip this and how to do that. There's universal laws and there's spirit laws. I'm so glad that the Bible does both and teaches us both. So many people in life have got great universal laws. And although their finances are successful and they can even be healthy with all the right herbs and workouts, and you can just see the disintegration of their spiritual life where there's no relationship with God and therefore it can't transfer into their home, their generations. We need them both. Father, I pray that this message of wisdom builds, that Father will touch each of us. And wherever they are today, if they're struggling through something, would you guide them if there's spiritual principles that need to be applied? Would you guide them if it's universal principles that need to be applied? Help us to rise up with our lives, to serve you, to recognize that you said you came to give us life and more abundantly in every area. I pray that upon them. And I ask here at Springs that you would give us wisdom. Father, raise up your church to touch and to reach so many people who don't know you yet because eternity is real and they need Jesus. But as we're living our lives, I pray for the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding opened that we might know you and your word, your principles, and the relationship with you. I pray this in your wonderful name. And everybody in agreement said, amen.